Open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, the 52nd chapter. Isaiah chapter 52 in your Scofield Bible, page 760. This is the same text that was read this morning, starting with verse 9. We'll read responsively through verse 12, and then we'll turn to yet another verse in the same book. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean, that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the Lord shall be your reward. Okay, let's turn to chapter 58 and verse 8. Isaiah 58 and verse 8, we'll read that verse together. Ready? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. And let's pray. Father, you've given us a great book. Thank you for our Bibles. Thank you that we're privileged to have the freedom to carry them. Thank you that our preacher is free to preach it, we to hear it. Help us in the hearing to be not only attentive, but to know in our hearts that this is what is needed tonight, because we believe that you've spoken to our preacher, and we believe that he in turn speaks to us that which we need from thy word. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.
I was a nervous wreck. I knew where she was going, and I was pretty sure she'd get there, and she did, and I feel relieved about it now. That's great. Sound different, huh? The thing that I don't understand is that Dan Daniel didn't even know God knew I was different. That's what bothers me. He had to tell God I was different. Let me just say, you ain't exactly the boy next door yourself. He's the whole family next door. You'll learn, my boy. You'll learn. So will Steve Huckins learn. All right. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject of the rear of the camp. It's from the text we read this morning and again tonight, Isaiah 52:12 and 58:8, that says the Lord is our re-reward. And that word re-reward means the Lord is the guard, our rear guard. And I want to talk tonight on the subject, the rear of the camp. I'm looking forward to this because I'm going to rejoice tonight and praise God for his goodness to me personally and to many of us as I speak on this subject. Our Heavenly Father, I come tonight representing not the tribe of Judah, that great tribe that was of such importance. I come not representing tonight the tribe of Ephraim, that blessed, favored tribe. I come not tonight representing the tribe of Asher who dwelt in the high places. come tonight on behalf of those people that dwelt in the tribe of Dan, the leftover people. Help me as I speak. Amen. I introduce you tonight to the tribe of Dan. The tribe of Dan was the last of the 12 tribes to receive their inheritance in the Promised Land, and it was the second largest of the 12 tribes, next to the tribe of Judah. In spite of that fact, it was the tribe that received the smallest portion of land in the Promised Land. The tribe of Dan, always on the journey from the land of Egypt to the land of Canaan, the tribe of Dan always traveled in the rear. They were the ones that always were bringing up the rear. In fact, it has been called the collector of the camps. The tribe of Dan collected the rejects. Those that were the reject were sent back into the back of the camp. The tribe of Dan collected them. The weak, the wayward, the disheartened, the bruised, the scabbed, the leprous, the dull, the poor, the shiftless, the desolate, the outcast, the faltering, the fallen, the unfortunate, those with running sores, the unclean. These were they who followed up, and after they were allowed to come back in the camp, they would settle in the tribe of Dan. God said he's the re-reward. He's the rear guard. That means that God was back. He was up in the front of the camp. Oh, yes. He is up in the front of the camp to protect the rich. He is up in the front of the camp to protect the well. He was up in the front of the camp to protect the intelligent. He was up in front of the camp to protect the happy. But he was also back in the back of the camp. He was the rear guard. He was not just, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying tonight that God only protects those in the rear. I'm saying that God also protects those in the rear. God stands tonight in the rear to guard the weakest bus kid. God stands tonight in the rear to guard those others who would be, if there were a tribe of Dan, who would be in the tribe of Dan. He stands in the rear to guard the loneliest homeless. He stands in the rear to guard the weakest mission man. He stands in the rear to guard the most confused in the psychiatric ward. He stands in the rear to guard the most backward mongoloid. He stands in the rear to guard the most senile senior citizen. He stands in the rear to guard the red man and the black man and the yellow man and the white man. He stands in the rear to guard the slum dweller, the ghetto bound with its hot pavement and uncollected garbage. He stands in the rear to guard them. God is simply saying that I love the poor as much as I love the rich. God is simply saying that I love the slow as well as I love the fast. God is simply saying that I love those who are not as sharp mentally as I love those who are sharp mentally. God is simply saying I love the outcast as much as I love those who are in the middle of everything. And God is reminding us that though he does protect and guard those in the front of the camp. By the way, most of us tonight, if we had lived in those days, would have been in the middle of the camp. Most of us think we're poor, but we're not. Probably the poorest among us tonight is better off than the folks in the tribe of Dan were. But most of us would have been in the tribe of Naphtali, or the tribe of Asher, or the tribe of Judah, or one of those tribes that were more affluent and more accepted. But back in the back was always that little straggling tribe of Dan. Those misfits, those people that were ill, and those folks that were outcast, and those folks that were former cleansed lepers. And back in the back was always the tribe of Dan. The heavy-hearted, the almost gone, the most forgotten person in the rest home. All of these, God was back behind and with, protecting them from the rear. You see, I grew up in the rear of the camp. And I'd like to praise God tonight that God is concerned about those in the rear of the camp. He was in the back there with me on Thanksgiving Day, 1931,
when my mother sat me down at the table for Thanksgiving dinner, and we had nothing to eat but one potato to share. And my mother bowed her head and thanked God for the food we're about to eat, and I looked up and wondered where the food was we're about to eat. And all of a sudden, somebody knocked on the door and said, "Thanksgiving basket from Fernwood Baptist Church." I'm talking about that little shack, Earlene, out the edge of town with an outhouse in the backyard and a wood stove and kerosene lamps and lanterns. I'm talking about that poor little house where we stuffed the windows with the newspapers to keep the howling winter winds out. I want to thank God tonight that God guards the rear as much as he does the front. God was back there in the rear with me in June 1944. When I came to graduation day without a suit or clothes, and we had to have a suit now to go to the McFarland Auditorium at Southern Methodist University for our commencement exercises. And I had no suit to wear, and my mother came and said, "Son, I'm sorry, but you can't graduate, can't go to graduation tonight because I've tried to find enough money to buy a suit." And I won't go into the story except to say that God gave me a suit that very day, gave me $50. It was sent from my uncle who did not know what to send me. I'm saying that God was back in the back of the camp. Oh, God was up there with the fellows that had nice clothes. God was up there with the Pee Wee Howards and the Bob Keys, whose dad had jobs. Dads had jobs. But praise God, he's back in the back of the camp with the poor folks, too. I'm saying that God was back in the back of the camp. When I looked in the YMCA window as a kid and wished I could join the YMCA and watch my buddies playing ping pong, and watched them in the gymnasium shooting baskets on the gym floor. And wished I could join. Just cost $6 a hole for a whole year. We didn't have $6. I couldn't afford it. And God was in there with those fellows that could afford it. But praise God, he was out there in the back of the camp where that little boy couldn't afford to get in the YMCA. That's one reason why. I'm for the rich. I'm for the affluent. I'm for the educated. I'm for the learned. I'm for the PhD. But bless God, I'm for the street man also. I'm for the homeless also. I'm for the bus kid also. God is not just for the poor, but God is for the poor as much as he is for the rich. Thank God he guards the rear. He was back in there with me when my sister made $10 a week and had to support the family out of $10 a week. Thank God he was back there in the rear of the camp when my daddy left and stepped over my body while I was kneeling and begging him to stay. Thank God he was guarding the rear of the camp. He was guarding the rear of the camp when I was sick for a year. I don't hardly ever mention this. For 1 year I was sick. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. We couldn't afford to go to a doctor. We couldn't afford to go to a hospital. We're too poor. And my Uncle Harvey let me go to his doctor, Dr. Jack Crawford. This has been good night. 62 years ago, I had to miss a whole year of school, and they didn't know what was wrong. But I had to have surgery. We couldn't afford to go to the hospital. We couldn't, and so I had surgery in the back bedroom of Uncle Harvey's house. I'm saying, poor, yeah, destitute, yeah, barefoot, yeah, no nice clothes, yeah, but praise God, he was back there in the rear. And I want to say tonight, God guards the rear of the camp. He guards the rich, but he guards the poor. He guards the PhD, but he guards the illiterate. He guards the well, but he guards the sick. He guards the affluent, but he guards those that are poor. He's back at the back of the camp also. He was back at the back of the camp when we had a little shack of a house, had holes in the floor till a snake crawled up in the house through a hole in the floor. And there was a snake crawling across our floor. And I'm simply saying, God was there in the back of the camp. And again, when I came to First Baptist Church of Hammond, we had a lot of rich people in the church, and we still have some folks. We have people in this church right now worth $100. Not many, and if I know who it is, I'll get it. But I'm saying I risked my whole ministry, not on the fact that I want just to reach the poor. I want to reach everybody. And God, thank God, he guards the rear of the camp. God guarded the rear of the camp when my daddy would come in drunk. God guarded the rear of the camp when I slept with sofa pillows, big sofa cushions over me, because we didn't have any cover. Whether Arlene remembers it or not, but I'd sleep there with those cushions over my feet because we didn't have any blankets or quilts. Praise God, we weren't very important to people, and my dad was a neighborhood drunk, but I'll guarantee you my God loved me as much as he loved anybody. Yes, he guards the rear of the camp tonight. Thank God he's also in the rear of the camp. Thank God when we had our shoes, what little shoes we had, hand-me-down shoes, would wear out. have a hole in the bottom. We'd just cut a cardboard out, a shape of the soul, and slide that cardboard in there. Now, I want you to know tonight, I thank God for every middle-class person. I thank God for those of you that be in the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Naphtali, the tribe of Asher, and all the other tribes. But I want you to know tonight, if you're back in the back of that camp with those people from the tribe of Dan, I want you to know you're as welcome here as anybody in this room tonight. Thank God tonight that He is back there. He's back there with those that snuggle in a box on Lower Wacker Drive tonight, as much as He is with those of us who live in nice homes and sleep in nice warm beds. Years ago, when I was a boy in Dallas, Dallas is divided by what's called the Trinity River. It's no more than a big creek, really, but sometimes it overflows. And it must be a half mile or so between the levees. They're big levees. And we call them viaducts. They're just bridges. We call them viaducts. Underneath the viaduct that we would, where we'd go from the Oak Cliff section to the downtown Dallas section, they'd take some boxes, crates, and they'd put sides there. And you'd have as the levee would come up like that, and here's the streetcar would go across like that, and underneath there, that people who are poor would sleep under there on the ground. Cold wintertime, they'd build a fire underneath the levee. And I'd ride the streetcar over there, and I'd see those people, and I'd think, my soul, what poor people they are. Underneath that levee, I did not know it for years later, lived a young man who became Dr. Bill Rice, Dr. John Rice's brother. I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, God's as concerned about that homeless young man named Bill Rice under that levee as He is about the folks that lived out in the wealthy Highland Park section in Dallas, Texas. Thank God tonight He guards the rear also. Thank God He guards the rear of the camp. And thank God those back in the back are just as precious in the sight of God as those up in the front are. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm going to use a term here that we used to use because it's what it was called. We'd ride the streetcar from Trinity Heights to the Oak Cliff section of Dallas. That's out where we lived. And sometimes we'd get that streetcar, and on the way it'd go through the Oak Cliff section. And Ms. Hiles and Ms. Stevens remember this. It went through what we called, and don't think I'm being disrespectful, it was called this. It was called Nigger Town. Remember that? The Trinity Heights streetcar would go through. And you wouldn't believe the way those houses and what we call, and I'm not being disrespectful, I'll tell you what the name of it was. And it was called Niggertown. I've never seen such a filthy place. I don't mean dirty because folks couldn't take care of it. I mean it was just a bunch of boxes that were built, the houses. You couldn't stand up in one of the houses. You just crawled in like that. And what I did not know is that down in that poor section of town, there lived a little boy about my age, maybe not quite as old as I am, whose name was Ernie Banks, who's now in the Hall of Fame. Baseball, hit 512 home runs for the Chicago Cubs, most valuable player, 2 years. Now, I'm not knowing whether Ernie Banks is a Christian or not. I suspect he is. But I'm simply saying that we had a place called Highland Park where a bunch of rich people live, and bless God, He was there guarding them, but God was out there, and pardon the expression, in Niggertown also, guarding those precious black people. I want to tell you tonight, this church is not here just to reach the elite, just to read it. And Easter Sunday morning, the lady that's got her nice pretty hat is welcome. And with a nice beautiful dress is welcome. But that fellow who straggles in, or that little gal that straggles in wearing hand-me-downs and leftovers, is just as welcome in the sight of God as anybody else is. He's in the back of the camp, the rear of the camp, where the downcast are and the lonely are. He's back there in the back where the disheartened and bruised and scabbed and leprous and dull and poor and shiftless and desolate and outcast and faltering and fallen, unfortunate, and the unclean are. He's back in the back. Praise God tonight. That's where I grew up. Thank God He's in the back of the camp. The parable of the Great Supper in Luke chapter 14. It's a wonderful story about God guarding and being interested in the back of the camp. Bible says a certain king made a great supper. His son was going to get married. The prince was going to get married. He made a great supper. for his son, the prince, and his son's wife, the princess, a future princess. You're going to get married. And he called his highfalutin servants in. And he said to his highfalutin servants, I want you to go and invite folks to come to the wedding. Now these highfalutin servants put their nice napkins over their arms, and they went down into Silk Stocking Lane. And they went down and rang a doorbell. Servant came to the door, and they said, is Liz Taylor home? Liz Taylor comes to the door, and these high-class servants say, Liz, we want you to come to the king's got a supper. His son's getting married. We want you to come in honor of the prince and the future princess. And Liz Taylor said, I can't do that. I'm leading a queer campaign in America, and I haven't got time to come. So these servants, elegant as they are, they go down the street, and they ring the doorbell where Ted Kennedy is. And the servant comes, and he's, may we please talk to Ted Kennedy. And Ted Kennedy comes to the door. His Royal Highness requests the honor of your presence at the marriage supper of his prince and the future princess, RSVP. And Ted Kennedy says, no, I've got a trip. I'm going to make the Chappaquiddick, and I just can't come at all. And I can't come. And they keep on going. And they go to the Jane Fondas, and she won't come. And they go to the Bill Clintons, and thank God he wouldn't come. And they go ask Hillary, and she says, I'm not coming. I'm not letting Bill come. And they go to the high class and the high fluting. These dignified servants, these dignified messengers go with their dignified curtsies and invite the rich to come. And they come back and they say, one said he bought a piece of ground, he couldn't come. One said he got married and he couldn't come. And one said he bought a yoke of oxen, he couldn't come. And the king said, we've got to have a crowd. I'll be embarrassed. My son's getting married. I've got to have a crowd at this supper. And I'll be embarrassed before my future daughter-in-law. We've got to have a crowd. He said, if you high-class servants can't get a crowd, I'll get me a bunch of guys to go out and say, y'all come. That's what God has done. Bunch of highbrow reverends go to Colgate Seminary and Northern Seminary and Southwest Seminary. They're taught to go out with their tails and their striped breeches and their formality and their sevenfold amens, their formal services, and their Easter sunrise formal services, and their masses, and their liturgy, and their high church songs, and say, we want you to come. But they won't come. You know why? Because the rich is not in there. Most of the rich are not interested in coming. They don't need God. And God said, okay, if you highbrow fellows can't get them, get a bunch of fellows like Billy Sunday and Howells and Bob Gray and a bunch of others to go out there and tell them, hey, y'all come, y'all come, y'all come. And he said, not only this, I'm not only going to choose some more servants. Hey, that's where we come in, fellas. Praise God. His Royal Highness requests the honor of your presence at the marriage supper for his son, RSVP. That didn't work too well. Doesn't work now either. So Jesus said, King said, I'll get me some new servants. I'll get me some fellows don't stand behind the pulpit. I'll get me those that run a while. I'll get me those that kick the microphones while they preach if I can't get... I'll get me some servants. If I can't get me a crowd to supper with formal prayer, I'll get me some that holler and scream and while they preach. And I'll get me some that say, hey, come on, come on, come on. If they won't come because they're invited, tell them they're going to go to hell if they don't get born again. All over the country this morning. Young folks, listen to me over here. All over the country this morning. Bunch of dignified, unconverted reverends stood up to invite the elite. I got a book the other day, picked up somewhere. Sermons Preached in the White House. Boy, I'd like to have one shot at that. It'd be a red house time I got through with it. I'd like to have one shot at that draft dodger. I'd like to have one shot at that baby killer. I'd like to have one shot at that fellow who wants to put queers in the armed forces to protect my country. I'd like to have one shot. I'm saying, praise God, the people that are drawing crowds tonight are not the formal dead fellows. They're the new servants who go. And they don't say, wouldest thou come? They say, the Bible says, that these new servants compel them to come in. Wouldest thou come? And he wouldn't come. He said, next time, go get, hey, come on, man, we're going to come. I'll give you a hot dog if you'll come. I'll swallow some fish if you'll come. God said, first he said, go and tell. First he said, go tell a fellow owns some yoke of oxen. Go tell a fellow owns some land, can afford it. Go tell a fellow just got married. They wouldn't come. You got a bunch of other servants that said, go tell the folks that are too poor to have yoke oxen. Folks can't afford to buy a piece of land. Folks too ugly to get married. Like Bill Graham. And Jesus said, he said, go to the street people, the homeless. Streets and lanes of the city. He said, go to the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. Hey, don't forget. Jesus said, don't forget those back in the rear. While you're preaching to Judah, don't forget Dan. While you're preaching the tribes up in the front of the camp, don't forget that straggling tribe back there. It's got the rejects and leftovers. In Ezekiel chapter 34, the indictment came to the pastors. And God said, I've got an indictment. He said, the disease have you not strengthened. Neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Neither have ye sought that which was lost. What was God saying? He's saying, you folks up there in the front of the camp, back in the back of the camp, you got some folks been driven away, some folks that are broken, some folks diseased, some folks that are sick, and some folks that are lost. Get back there and realize that the same God that died for the rich died for the poor. Here the message is to the pastor. I must not forget the ones in the rear of the camp. No, misunderstand me. You fellows over here, most of you are middle-class people. Few of you be in the tribe of Dan. Quote so would. Guy's got to make a tape and sing all the parts and play all the instruments. He's bound to be so poor, he's back in the back of the camp. Most of you folks up here, you'd be in the front of the camp or the middle of the camp. But I want to tell you folks, people can't afford a nice suit like that, nice tie like that, as precious to God as I am and as you are. Folks back in the back of the camp, back in the rear. He's the rear guard. He's back there where the poor and the maimed, the halt, the blind, those who've been driven away, those who are lost, those who are broken. He's back there. Ladies and gentlemen, this whole Chicago area is full of people back in the rear of the camp. Let's go get them and tell them that God loves them. In Luke chapter 4, when Jesus stood in the synagogue of Nazareth to read his scripture for his first sermon, he stood to read. But Isaiah 61, he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to, one, preach the gospel to the poor, two, heal the brokenhearted, three, preach deliverance to the captive, four, recovering of sight to the blind, and five, set at liberty them that are bruised. Sounds like to me that Jesus is talking about the folks back in the rear of the camp. He's the rear guard. He's the one that guards the tribe of Judah. He's the one that guards me, the pastor. And you folks who are deacons and you folks who drive cars to church, which is most of you. But he guards those back in the rear, the bruised, he said. And by the way, they're just the same then they are now. When he preached that, his synagogue where he grew up got up and kicked him out of the synagogue, took him out the edge of town, kicked him down the hill, and chased him out of town. Why? Because he's trying to not forget those back in the rear of the camp. Let me praise him tonight. I didn't come from Judah. I didn't come from Ephraim. I didn't come from the tribe of Manasseh. I didn't come from the tribe of Asher. I did not come from the tribe of Naphtali. I came from the tribe of Dan. Let me make it very plain. One night, my drunkard daddy said to mother and me, "I'll meet you in the corner of Harwood and Commerce Street in downtown Dallas at 10 o'clock. We sat there on a little bench on the corner in front of the city hall, the old city hall, on the corner of Harwood and Commerce Street, downtown Dallas, Texas, till 1 o'clock in the morning. Young folks, listen to me over here. Hey, listen to me over here. We sat there till 1 o'clock in the morning. My poor little mother. We tried to find my daddy. Mother's suspicion, the tavern where daddy used to hang out. We walked down to what is called Deep Elm. Deep Elm, they call it. It's where the trash hangs out. The taverns. The dirty clubs like this filthy hellhole over here on Soul and State Street. We walked down there about 1:30 in the morning. And we picked up my daddy off the street corner sound asleep. Street person. Drunk, sleeping 1:30 in the morning on the sidewalk. Let me praise God tonight. He loves the people back in the back. Let me thank God tonight that he's the rear guard as well as the front guard and the side guard. I was thinking today, if we had come to this church, my mama wouldn't have had an Easter dress. In fact, my mother had been one those dear ladies that probably couldn't put much in the collection plate. My mother cleaned the church building for $2 and all the money she could find in the envelopes. They didn't take out the envelopes. My mother, we have a precious lady, has a little daughter she's rearing by herself. Lives back in the rear of the camp, but they're very precious to me. Every Sunday morning, a bunch of little kids come by my door, and some of them push coins under the door. And I'd like to say what I said before, folks. Prices have gone up. Pennies and nickels won't buy very much anymore. How about some quarters and silver dollars under the door? And then someone put candy under the door. But by the time I walk out to come to my class, I open the door, and usually there are about maybe 10 little children there. And one of them will bring me Reese's peanut butter cup. This morning they brought me some peanuts, and some brought me some little cheese and peanut butter crackers and so forth. But one little lady has a little girl, couldn't afford to bring anything. She just comes, and the little girl usually shakes my hand and shyly turns to walk away wishing she had something to give the preacher. Let me tell you what kind of preacher you got. You got a kind of preacher that loves that little girl back in the back of the camp as much as he loves those little girls that can afford the other stuff. Have you eaten Reese's peanut butter cup, Reese's new candy bar? What's it called? Reese's outrageous. Nutrageous. Nutrageous. It is goodrageous, too. This morning, that little girl on Easter Sunday, little kids bringing me different things. That little girl had a nutrageous candy bar to give me. Big old smile on her face. I told her how much I love those nutrageous candy bars and how they make my stomach rage just when I eat them. But if we had been members of this church, my mother would have been that little lady. She would have been the little lady that was too poor even to buy the preacher a 50-cent candy bar except on occasion. If we'd been members of this church, if we'd have come to this church, I couldn't have gone to Hammond Baptist. We couldn't afford it. I couldn't have gone to City Baptist. We couldn't have afforded it. If we'd have come to this church, my mother would have sat in these pews and wept because she couldn't afford to send her boy to a Christian school. If we'd have come to this church, my daddy would have sat up there in the mezzanine on Sunday morning or up there with the mission men in the services. And I would have been a bus kid. I've been looking at this scripture for a long time, and I've been thanking God that He guards the rear of the camp also. Or else I wouldn't be here tonight. I'm not a pedigree. I'm not a blue blood. Somebody said, Brother Howells, what is your nationality? Texan. Earlene, we're part Scotch. Not the drinking kind, but the blood kind. We're part Scotch. We're part Irish. We're part Indian, I think. We're part French. We're part English. And what else are we? We are a lot more. I mean, just name it, brother. It's in there. We are regular United Nations inside our bodies. But praise God tonight. He guards the rear of the camp, just like He guards the front of the camp. This church has told the whole Chicago area we're interested in those back in the rear of the camp also. And the only people we're not interested in is those folks think they're better than somebody else. You know, just because you've got a few pictures of Abraham Lincoln tucked away in a safety deposit box, yeah, that doesn't make you any better than the guy that hadn't got a penny to his name. Listen to me. Did you know that? You snobs. Well, the poor white trash. Yeah, join us. You're one of us. When this church, listen, every great, now I'm not preaching now, I'm fussing. Every great church this country has ever seen. I'm talking about Moody Church back in the days when it was New Testament church. I'm talking about the old Moody Church when Dwight Moody was there. They were working for people back in the back of the camp too. Not just the people back in the back of the camp. We run buses. They ran horse-drawn carriages to cover the Chicago area. Mr. Moody started that Moody Church as a Sunday school for poor kids. One day he was out visiting, he saw a kid, and he said, Hey, I want you to come to Sunday school. The kid began to run. Mr. Moody ran and chased him down the sidewalk. Hey, come on, you weren't in Sunday school last Sunday, why don't you come to Sunday school? The kid ran up the sidewalk to his house on the front porch. Mr. Moody ran up there. Hey, come on, fella, come on, son, why don't you come to Sunday school? Mr. Moody, the kid went inside the house, up the stairs. Mr. Moody went inside the house and up the stairs. Hey, fellow, won't you come to Sunday school? Fellow went inside the house, crawled under the bed. Mr. Moody followed him inside his apartment and pulled his leg and pulled him out under the bed. And the kid's dad came out and said, Who are you? He said, My name is Dwight L. Moody. Oh, you're crazy Moody. You're crazy Moody. And that name stuck with Mr. Moody. Crazy Moody. Hey, you're looking at Crazy Housey. As long as we... Oh, let's say to the rich, come on.
What you say, Dr. Hiles? I don't like your formal worship, your informal worship services.
Well, go across the street. You can't go at night. But if you like that mass over there. I want you to know something, ladies and gentlemen. Our Savior said the Spirit of the Lord God was upon him because he anointed and preached the gospel to the poor. And to heal the brokenhearted and seven set liberty those that are bruised. Let me tell you tonight, First Baptist Church will die when First Baptist Church spends her time in the front of the camp and not both there and the back of the camp. Jesus is, praise God, the rear guard as well as He is the front guard. And that means tonight He loves you. It doesn't matter who you are, He loves you. You may be wearing a $500 suit tonight, or you may be wearing a hand-me-down. You've never owned a new suit in your life. He loves you. You may be the president of the bank, or you may be a fellow whose signature can transfer hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you may be sitting in the rescue mission wondering how you're going to make it and how your family is going back home. He loves you. He's back at the back of the camp as well as he is at the front. Now, I dedicate myself again tonight to preaching the gospel to everybody. We have a college. We have PhDs. We have, and by the way, in case some of you visitors think we're poor white trash, I'll promise you this. There's not a church in this county that has as many college graduates as First Baptist Church of Hammond has. That fellow right there, Dan Daniel, he's a graduate of Barber College. Or that veterinary, I forgot what it is. But anyway, no, the guy's a graduate of Auburn University. A little guy over there is a graduate of Princeton. A little guy there, a graduate of Hammond Baptist High School. We're not any poor bums. We're not ignorant bums. We're pretty well-to-do bums. I'm saying there are more college graduates than this room tonight, I promise you, than all the other churches in this city put together this morning. But the honest, simple truth is, we're interested in the folks back at the back of the camp also. In the back of the camp. How long has it been since you got anybody in the back of the camp? Well, you say, I wouldn't want to soil my pretty clothes. Well, try it sometime. Try it sometime. Every time I preach like this, I think about that night I was over in Chicago. Sometimes I go over by myself, walk in a tavern, ask them if I can preach or speak. I walk in, I'll say to the bartender, can I say a few words? This is the conversation 99% of the time. What about? I said, about religion. And he always says, sure, go ahead. I'm a Catholic myself. I stood up there on a bar, standing on the bar, preaching, telling about Jesus and the love of God, back at the back of the camp. And a drunk back in the back stood up. He said, hey, folks, are you listening to that man? He knows what he's talking about. That's my preacher. Fella last night was so far at the back of the camp, he thought I was the son of the pastor of this church. You talk about a guy drunk. That guy's about as drunk as you can get. But praise God tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. He was concerned about a little poor boy in southwest Dallas in the ghettos who lived back in the back of the camp. And as long as I live and breathe, the richest man in this area is welcome in this church, but so is the poorest. And the most intellectual man with the highest IQ in this area is welcome in this church, and so is the fellow that can't write his name welcome in this church. And the lady who walks in with furs and silk and satin is welcome, but the lady that walks in with hand-me-down clothes is welcome. I'll close with an old, old story. Happened many years ago when we had the wall right here and the pulpit was right here. There came in our church a multimillionaire couple that sat right back there. Wall was here at the time. The pulpit was about right here. A couple sat right back there. She had on a mink coat. I don't mean a mink stole, a mink coat. And he was a multimillionaire. Right across that aisle back there was a little Mexican boy. Same row they were on, just across the aisle. That couple was from Wheaton, Illinois. I know them well. That little boy back there was, Mexican boy, was trying to cover up a hole in his pants. And a very wealthy lady in the mink coat looked over to her husband and said, hey, I'll tell you what kind of church this is, honey. He said, what? She said, that little boy right there with a hole in his pants, trying to cover it up, is just as welcome in this church as we are. And that's true. This church is concerned about those in the front of the camp, but this church is as concerned about those in the rear of the camp, because our God is not only the guard of the front, he's also the rear guard. Let's dedicate ourselves afresh and anew to reaching everybody.
but especially let's reach those back in the tribe of Dan, the stragglers, because our God is back there with him, just like he's up there with us. Shall we stand, please? The choir will sing, and you obey him as he speaks to your heart tonight.